The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland proudly present Where We Worship. This 30-minute locally produced program highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic parishes and institutions, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of those they serve. Now here's your host, Bob Tayak.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio, with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. This program is sponsored in part by the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. Well, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope, and they're where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. And parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. And why are they essential to our relationship with God? One only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works. We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more as you see the day drawing near." Well, today on Where We Worship, we feature an historic parish which has, for more than a century, epitomized the parish as community. A parish established in 1898, soon to be celebrating a year or more its 125th anniversary. St. Aloysius St. Agatha Parish, most often referred to as St. Aloysius, located on Cleveland's east side in the Glenville neighborhood. Its history mirrors much of Cleveland. Established in 1898, serving the largely Irish east side community, and by 1937, it had become one of the largest in the Diocese of Cleveland while serving as the quote-unquote Cathedral of Glenville when the bishop resided a mile away in Brattonall. And as the Irish moved to the suburbs and a largely African-American population moved in starting in the 1960s, the parish went on to serve the community with its vibrant school, social service programs, and a focus on enhancing the Black Catholic experience and worship. This is your host, Bob Tayak, and joining me on Where We Worship, the St. Aloysius Parish Life Coordinator, Ursuline Sister Mary Jean Raymond, Presbyteral Moderator, Father Anthony Simone, and parishioners, longtime activists, I'll best describe them that way, Lizanne Hudson and Gregory Clifford. And to all of you, welcome and thanks for being with us. And I'm going to first turn to Sister Mary Jean. Explain the current structure of the parish. Who celebrates Mass, who administers the sacraments, but who also has to run the place. But no, tell us about it.
Well, in our current structure, I'm known as the Parish Life Coordinator. So I'm responsible for the day-to-day operations, all of the financial aspects, the upkeep of the buildings, and also I'm heavily involved with the school and religious education, especially with our preschoolers. And the parish does reach out in so many, many ways to our neighborhood. In fact, we like to say, when people ask, how many families do you have in your parish? We like to answer, oh, around 2,393. And everyone's eyebrows go up. However, canonically, a parish is responsible for the neighborhood. And the neighborhood is the extent of the parish. We definitely believe that and live that at St. Aloysius.
Now, let's move to the liturgical side. Father Anthony, in what capacity or description is your title? And you serve really as a sacramental minister, right?
Yes, and I guess one could say that, for one, I'm living the sacrament of a priesthood. I mean, that's a whole different conversation. Yeah, so liturgical life, it's like the prayer of the church, the liturgical life of the church is the same. It's the same. We're Catholic, which is what I love about it, but it's also liturgical life that each parish colors. So that, over my year and a half or so, I'm coming to integrate myself, and that's a big word of integration. Of course, I get to be their priest, which makes me, fulfills my life. I get to be their priest, and so I get to celebrate the Mass, not as a sacrament machine, but to lead the prayer, to be present, preach the gospel, you know, by my life. Certainly evangelization is in my heart, but evangelization happens among us as well. In some way, I think, like, as a shepherd, doesn't mean you're in charge, but you're kind of representing the bishop, and you're one priest among many. I get to be Jesus and need Jesus and also encounter Jesus.
A wonderful description. I talked about the parish's heritage. I looked to you, Lizanne, if you will, or to Gregory or Sister. Was I accurate enough, do you think, in outlining what that history's been, kind of the evolution of the parish?
Over the years, things have morphed as the neighborhood has changed. The former Irish population of the parish dwindled, moved to the suburbs, and the African-American community moved into and became the predominant culture in the Glenville neighborhood. I started in the parish, I'd say around 1956, and it was predominantly white at that time. And so I saw the transformation as the numbers changed, and the numbers also dropped. I mean, the population was really great in the past, where we had, I don't know, 4 or 5 masses on Sunday, down to now where we're just doing 1 mass on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. But we've seen that, and that wasn't probably, I'm guessing, always a very easy transition, particularly for an African-American or family or whatever, moving into the parish during those times. But at least the parish has done it sounds to me like a very commendable job in moving people, even though they are different, if you will, if nothing else, just with race, but moving them into, you know, into this Catholic institution and religious setting. Sister, women religious, you present an interesting dynamic, but the history in that parish goes way back as far as their involvement.
Oh, yes, and the parish is deeply indebted to the Sisters of St. Joseph from Rocky River.
Yes.
They were definitely the founding group that was there. At one point, I am told there were as many as 16 sisters in the school and teaching there. And many, many people still fondly remember their teachers from St. Aloysius.
I bet they do. Yeah. Lizanne, any memory of working with those religious women?
Yes, Sister Juanita.
Oh, Sister Juanita.
Yes. My good,
in fact, she was principal.
Yes,
I just happened to have lunch with her.
Oh,
and,
wonderful.
But anyway, and she was describing a lot of what transpired there. But go ahead, sorry.
No, Sister Juanita also is my godmother. She's been one of the front runners for also as a Black Catholic caucus. And she had me involved and many others involved in everything that happened.
As only she could.
Yes. And so it has been a great history being interacting with sisters, and as well with Sister Mary Jean is just wonderful. So it's been great, and I'm so glad that her, in her own way, has contributed to us as well, and she continues to do that.
When we return, St. Aloysius, St. Agatha, soon to celebrate 125 years in Cleveland's Glenville neighborhood, on Where We Worship on AM 1260, The Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio, with special thanks to the Diocese of Cleveland for support of this program. This is your host, Bob Tayak, with a message for our listeners. Are you a digital subscriber to the weekly email newsletter provided by the Diocese of Cleveland? Right before the weekend begins, the Diocese delivers a series of updates and stories from ministries throughout Northeast Ohio, as well as Bishop Edward Mlesik's Gospel Reflection for that Sunday. Be sure to visit dioceseofcleveland.org and click on the subscriber box that pops up onto your screen. And now, as our interview continues with Sister Mary Jean Raymond, an Ursuline sister, parish life coordinator at St. Aloysius Parish on Cleveland's east side, along with parishioners and activists Lizanne Hudson, Gregory Clifford, and of course, with their presbyteral moderator, Father Anthony Simone. Well, let's return to the topic of the parish school, and I talked to the former principal, as we were just suggesting,
yes.
Sister Juanita Shealy, and it's apparent St. Aloysius has been a leader, particularly as Bishop Anthony Pilla dedicated efforts to keep Catholic education functioning in the city and in the urban areas as parishioners and parishes were being forced to close their schools. And that is truly reflects on the history of what's gone on at St. Aloysius, St. Agatha. Would someone be willing to reflect on that?
Yes. In the past, during Bishop Pilla's time, our principal was Sister Sandra Sabo, a sister of St. Joseph of the Third Order of St. Francis. And Sister Sandra and her community were very instrumental in supporting our school, especially through some very tough years. I can remember one year when the Marianists were there, our school population went down to about 120 students. And Brother Mike O'Grady gathered the teachers and said to them, here's our situation. We're asking all of you to take a 10% pay cut. Only one teacher left the school over that. And when Brother Mike told this story at a diocesan meeting, there was an audible gasp saying, what, your teachers did that and came back? And I think that speaks to the loyalty and also the quality of educators we have had over the years at St. Aloysius. The school now is flourishing with 235 students and another 22 in the preschool. And we are delighted with that. And we also attempt very much to continually teach the Catholic religion, even though our students are not Catholic and many are even unchurched. The principal, Mr. Kyle Jones, just shared with me a new initiative that happens frequently during the day, and it's called Stop, Drop, and Pray. When the students hear a particular hymn being played over the PA system, everything stops. The students fold their hands at their desks and bow their heads and pray, maybe for a minute, maybe for 2 minutes. But it's a way to make our children conscious of God in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Extraordinary. That has to be, and Clifford, I look to you, looking at this, the school and how it has evolved so well, there has to be a wonderful history of people really being involved in bringing some real vibrancy to that ministry as well as others at the parish. Could you comment on that?
Yes, the school has always been a vital part of the parish and a natural link between the church and the community because, I mean, we've got a school that is a majority non-Catholic, and that's because people in the community recognize and appreciate the quality of a Catholic education. And they don't want to send their kids to public schools where there's a lot of chaos going on at times. They want to have it meaningful and orderly and a Christian-based education for their children so that, you know, their children can grow up to be the kind of people they want them to be. And that's the education that they recognize that's provided at St. Aloysius. So it's always been an important part. And people to this day that graduated from St. Aloysius School will look back at the times and, oh, yeah, I remember Sister so-and-so. And I remember, you know, Sister so-and-so and the experience that they had and about how they appreciate the quality of their education and how it led to their future success.
That's got to be a rich history. Who might have been some of the people? Well, you've already mentioned several, but I'm thinking Lizanne or Clifford or Sister. What, as far as the people that have been involved in really making this such a dynamic parish, particularly in its situation as it evolved. Any names that come to mind? You mentioned Lizanne's Sister Juanita Sheely as a principal who gets everybody involved. But others that you recall that were dynamic in their leadership as well as in their foresight in how, you know, the parish should continue to be vibrant.
Father Paul and Father Marshall.
Father Paul is?
He was a Marianist priest.
Okay.
And he was the pastor for
a long time.
Mm-hmm. And he pulled not only just St. Aloysius, but reaching out as Sister has mentioned and Greg too, to the communities. And this is one reason how I've always been involved with St. Aloysius through the activities of the Black Catholic Congress and the caucus itself, as well as other invitations to different activities that we've done. Mm-hmm. And Father Paul has really been instrumental in that. And when we were together on the board,
Black Catholic Advisory Board,
It was so many interesting things that Father introduced to the church as well and inclusive of the community.
Wow. In fact, let me jump to that fact that the parish I know is very involved now with Sister Jane Nesmith, the new head of the Office of Ministry to Black Catholics in the diocese.
Yes.
Tell us about that, Sister.
Yes. We are partnering with Sister Jane in her efforts in order to reach out and bring the youth into the church fold. And we're beginning to do this through programs for the youth at all four of the traditionally Black parishes. St. Adelbert's and St. Aloysius have schools, so we're beginning our ministry outreach to them through children's choirs and praise dance teams. Then eventually our students will come together with the young people from Holy Spirit and from St. Agnes, Our Lady of Fatima, to form a cohesive youth group of Black Catholic students in the city.
Wow, you're already a dynamic element to what's coming on there. In fact, I want to talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But coming up, St. Aloysius and Cleveland's Glenville community, serving the faithful with active ministries on AM 1260, The Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship, featuring St. Aloysius St. Agatha Parish in Cleveland, which is a little more than a year away from celebrating its 125th anniversary. And you're listening to AM 1260, The Rock. And my guests are St. Aloysius Parish Life Coordinator, Ursuline Sister Mary Jean Raymond, Presbyteral Moderator Father Anthony Simone, and longtime parishioners and parish activists Lizanne Hudson and Gregory Clifford. And we wanted to talk a little bit first. We were just suggesting some of the activities, and particularly with the Black Catholic ministries and so forth. But Sister, you're really looking, as the parish develops, into really kind of a service hub. Could you give us a little idea about what's going on in that regard?
Yes, I think one good way to view St. Aloysius is as the gateway to service. In many different aspects. We have a very active Hunger Center program. The woman who runs the Hunger Center, Carol Bunn, also is our person who assists with rental and utility assistance. She is a navigator partnered with Cleveland Clergy Alliance. We have the Project Hope, a medical assistance program that is housed in the rectory there. And we also see ourselves as the gateway for many suburban parishes to come and assist and to expand their ministry into the city. For example, right now, for the next 4 months, we will have volunteer groups from various parishes coming to St. Aloysius. And when they come, one of the things I always have them do is clean the church. And I'll say to them, you're not just cleaning the church, you are preserving an important part of the history of the Diocese of Cleveland. And then I give them a little historical tour and information about St. Aloysius.
You know, I want to jump in there. There is one really interesting historical aspect to that we didn't touch on earlier, which is there's a seat that the bishop would use at the altar when he lived in Brattonall and would come to St. Aloysius as the quote-unquote Cathedral of Glenville, but a very special historical chair, correct?
Yes, we still have the original carved wooden bishop's throne at our church. And when the bishop visits, we do bring it out, even though it's very uncomfortable to sit in.
but historic, right? I want to jump back for a second and look at the efforts, and I ask this to all of our parishes on these interviews, reaching young people. You know, it's a critical element to us as church today. How are you going about that to reach young people and bring them either to the faith or keeping them in the faith at St. Aloysius, St. Agatha?
I think an important part of reaching them is to listen to them and to learn their perspective on things and what are their desires, what are their needs, so that we can accommodate them. We can be more welcoming for them if we listen to them and give them a role to play so they can participate. It's not just the old folks' church. It's everybody's church.
Right.
So, we've got to engage them more. So, you know, having a youth choir and engaging the students in the school more in parish activities and in the mass helps to bring the youth alive in the parish to attract other youth. Because if we have a active youth group of a base of Catholic students without bringing in the wider community, we're not able to evangelize them unless we can engage them into the parish activities.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Father, please.
Definitely, in addition to that, I had just some inspiration recently. I mean, there's both in Collinwood and Glenville, there's people that went to the school and loved the church, but they're just living their lives, you know, away and say, oh, I love Aloysius. You know, I don't come to church. And I was just thinking, for young families, young couples, or for the youth, why not have them meet in each other's homes? Or why not do things outside of church, have food, have fun, get to know one another, but know that, but we're Aloysius. We all loved Aloysius, or we all loved Jerome's. And maybe in that, then we'll say, oh, well, let's see one another at church. So I was thinking about that, like celebrate life, but incorporate some prayer together and know that we're living our lives, enjoying one another, and we're being part of the church. So that's just an inspiration I thought of recently.
No, and a wonderful one in that regard. So as you're working with the Black Catholic Ministry office there, you're attempting these various outreach programs or at least some new ones, as you suggested,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Lizanne, you know, I'm thinking, you know, particularly music, dance, and I guess I think of students in this social media age when they're looking at TikTok and all of these other, you know, elements that come into their lives. I mean, it seems like that might be a good first place to start, huh?
Yes, I'm going to, along with help with Sister, in incorporating liturgical dance, praise dancing with them. I talked to the vice principal a couple of weeks ago, and once I want to be hand in hand with Sister in working with it and teaching them praise dance. And then the evolution of this will help them to reach out to others, like Greg said, that they'll come in too as well, and they'll want to be a part of this team. And we have to push forward on doing this with the children in order for it to work, for our church to remain vibrant.
Amen. How can someone learn more about St. Aloysius, St. Agatha in Cleveland's Glenville neighborhood? What's your best means, phone, or what would you suggest?
Well, they probably could begin by going to the website, mm-hmm. and they can always call the rectory. And I love giving tours and showing off our beautiful church.
Amen.
So I'd be very happy to accommodate any small groups or large groups.
What's the web address?
The web address is saintaloysiuscleveland.org.
Is that S-T or?
Saint spelled out.
Saint spelled out. And that's Aloysius Cleveland?
Aloysius Cleveland.
.org. Simple enough. And a phone number, in fact, if you?
Yes, 216-451-3262.
3262. Father?
In addition, we do have a Facebook page, St. Aloysius Cleveland, I believe, as well as a YouTube channel where we live stream our masses.
Oh, excellent. Good to know all of that. Mm-hmm. Well, you've been listening to Where We Worship. This is your host, Bob Tayak. This presentation featuring St. Aloysius, St. Agatha in Cleveland's Glenville neighborhood. Where We Worship, a production of AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic life. As written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2, prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship with host Bob Tayak, presented by AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. If you missed any part of today's show, you can listen to the program in its entirety by going to our website, am1260therock.com, and clicking the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.